welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter.
Hi, Adam.
What's up, man? What do you need these headphones for? I'm here with T-Rex. Jake Ellenberger is sick. I think he might have to go to the doctor. Yeah, like strep throat or something, or beginning of it.
It would be amazing if he had like gonorrhea or something like that, because then we knew he was getting some.
Yeah, that's true. Well, well, we know it's definitely not gonorrhea. We know. But so Jake can't be here. We're supposed to have Manny Gambarian in studio, but then that is
but
next
he's
week.
Sleeping.
But we do have Anthony Johnson and Amanda Nunez on today.
Yeah,
we're gonna have Manny on next week. It's gonna be a good show. My week. I'll talk about my week first. My T-Rex's week. So last Wednesday I went to Go Course Jiu-Jitsu.
How was that?
Oh man,
did you get beat down?
I did. First of all, I like go there. My legs are so scraped up. I look like like Miley Cyrus. That's how that's how my knee pads. I mean, my knees hurt so bad. Like, but it's one of those things. I go there and they're like, okay, we have a tournament, so it's gonna be all rolling today. No instruction, just rolling. I'm like, ugh. And then I'm like, okay, no problem. And like, I forget that when I wrestled in high school, I talk about it so much that I feel like it was yesterday. Right. Until I go to a class, I'm like, oh wait, that was 19 years ago. Because that's exactly what was going through my mind as I was tapping out.
You're getting destroyed.
Well, the first guy I let go with was just this big muscle head, this huge guy, and he doesn't know much technique. But what I don't like about jiu-jitsu is that you start on your knees all the time.
Right.
You know, whereas like wrestling, you start on your feet. Which would be my advantage, would be to take the guy down. I have to watch, neck cranks or, going into guillotines and stuff. But you kind of lose your advantage sort of on your knees. Especially guys go right to their back and you're like, oh, all right, I'll just jump in their guard. But this one big guy, and we're just going back and forth, and he's like, oh, he's about 50 pounds. The next guy is just toying with me, and I'm like, oh, what belt are you? He's like, yellow. I'm like, Jesus Christ. He goes, no, I'm kidding. I'm a black belt. I was about to leave. I was about to just say, announce my retirement there, have a press conference on the...
But a press conference.
So he's like, I used to be in the WEC, and I lost to Bart Pilichevsky, but I beat Tony Ferguson. Like, this is the guy that I'm like going with, the black belt. Like,
right.
So, but it was good. It was fun. And then the next guy was even better than him. But he told me what I was doing wrong. I was getting swept because I was too hot.
You're showing up.
I was showing up. It's like all black belts in this fucking place. Like, yeah, but it was fun. No, but it also made me realize that, like, okay, so in high school I wrestled and I was a four-time Class A champion, but it wasn't because I was naturally talented. Talent was very little about it, because I remember getting my ass kicked in the sixth grade tournament by this guy, Frank Trotta, who got Athlete of the Year. And then I remember it like he was like the big athlete in Oceanside High School in Long Island where I grew up. And then as a freshman, when I was into boarding school, I came back and I'm like, yeah, I won the Class A's. And then him and this other guy, John Girardi, just laughed at me like, aha, the paper champion, prep school, aha.
He laughed at you?
Yeah. Then I worked my ass off. And by the time I was a senior, I just beat this guy's ass like 12 right. to 3, even though there was no real score. I kept scoring. Yeah. And then he was like, he even said to me, he goes, man, you outclassed me, and shook my hand afterwards. Yeah, he was a nice kid, super nice kid, but it wasn't like
he went home and hung himself.
It wasn't like I had more talent than this guy. I didn't, but I just worked my ass off. And same thing with comedy. It wasn't like I remember taking a comedy class 15 years ago. I was probably the least talented person in my class.
Was that with Greg Wilson?
No, it was not with the Greg Wilson. But it was one of those things where I just work hard and work hard and work. I can't do voices or impressions, or I can't tell stories very well, but I just outwork everybody.
Right.
So, well, same thing happened with wrestling. I outworked everyone. However, when I go back to jiu-jitsu class, I realize that there's no real talent there. Because I'm not outworking anybody in jiu-jitsu class, I'm getting the crap beaten out of me. But it was still good. I mean, I was still positive. I think it was positive. I mean, I got something out of it. Matt Byrne,
right.
But it was cool. I saw Manny Gambarian there. He was there. That's why I asked him to do the podcast. But we got the days got mixed up. So anyway, so that was cool. And then I did a show on Saturday night, and Ronda Rousey's mother showed up.
Nice.
With her husband and Ronda's sister, and the Rousey clan, Team Rousey, showed up.
Really?
I was actually kind of like...
Everybody but Ronda?
Yeah, everyone but Ronda. I was actually sort of in bad... my show was pretty dirty. And I was like, oh man, I don't want to offend.
It's hilarious though. Like,
thank you very much. I appreciate that. I don't want to say my own show is hilarious, but when you have people like a doctor and then her husband, who's a I think he's a rocket scientist there. You wonder, like, maybe they're not going to get my humor, or they're going to be offended, or they're going to, but they laugh their asses off. And it's funny because I go up to Ronda Rousey's mom's husband and I was like, hey, so you're a rocket scientist, huh? He's like, well, yeah, you know, I didn't know what to say. I'm like, so what do you think about drones? Like,
that's what you said?
Yeah, that was
oh my God.
That was the closest. I'm like, I want one of those drones. That's what I said. I could not have been more dumbass.
I want one of those drones.
That's what I said to her. I want a drone. That's what I said to him. And then he looked at me like, what's wrong with this guy? Anyway, how was your weekend? What's going on?
Oh, it was cool, man. I did five shows, headlined the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas.
No, really?
Yeah, and that place, if you've never been to Wichita, save your time and your money. That place is the most boring place on the dude, this is the most poignant thing that ever happened to me in my entire life. I was talking to people from the stage, like, what are we all doing after the show? And people were just kind of like, no one yelled out, like, yeah, we're gonna go here, we're gonna go there. No one yelled out anything. Right? People were just like kind of like, So after the show, I'm selling my DVDs. I get done selling my DVDs. I go outside to see where everybody's
going. They have DVD players over there?
That's why no one bought them. Yeah. Like, you don't have this on VHS? So, go outside, and I swear to God, I'm talking to the feature act, and we're standing outside trying to figure out what we're going to do, because it's still pretty early. It's like midnight. We can still go out and get a drink, and I'm looking to see if there's any nightlife anywhere. It's barren. I swear to God, a tumbleweed blew by down the middle of the street, and I was like, dude, that couldn't have been any more poignant.
Oh,
a freaking tumbleweed blows past. Like, what are we doing? And then here comes a tumbleweed.
Oh, wow.
Like, we're just going back to the hotel.
Wow.
That's exactly what we did.
The hotel. You had a comedy condo there.
Yeah, we
right?
had the condo there, yeah.
So, I've actually been there like five times in the Looney Bin.
You went to the new one?
No, the old one.
The old one is terrible. From what they took me past the old place. It was in a strip mall. Or whatever.
Yeah.
The new one is like, it was horrible because when the girl picked me up from the airport, we were
driving. Wait, it went from terrible to horrible?
Was that?
It went from terrible to horrible?
To deplorable.
Oh, deplorable. Really? Wait, the new one's deplorable?
Oh, no. The new one's, the club is fantastic.
Yeah.
The condo is attached to the club, so you can hear the stage. When you're
Oh, my God.
So you say, all right, come to the stage now. Then you can just jump up and run out of your room and run into the other room and go on stage. So, but it's really nice. It's all brand new.
The comedy condos are tough, though, man, because you go on these beds.
And you know that other comedians have been laying in there jerking off.
Yeah, and you think about how much unfunny goo is
right.
is in that bed. That's all I can think about. Yeah.
But the only good thing that happened from that whole weekend was I was watching, it was boring. So during the day, I was watching like a bunch of documentaries on Netflix. And I started watching this documentary on BTK, the BTK killer.
Oh, which is there, yeah.
And which I didn't know was in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, really?
So then one of the opening act was like, oh, dude, let's find out where the houses are. So we went and checked out the houses where he started his murder spree.
Oh, that's a very positive weekend.
Yeah, you know, so we had some fun.
I was in Wichita. I did a show there, and I was so pissed because these two sisters wanted to hook up, right? I never hooked up with sisters
with
before.
Each other?
No. And not like black sisters, like actual sisters.
Yeah,
right?
No, so, there's no black women in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think you doubled the population when you got there. But these two sisters wanted to hook up, but I was going to bring back to the condo, but the comic was like, no, man,
there's
a rule saying you can't bring girls back to the comedy condo.
The feature act said that?
The feature act was like, and the feature, actually, I opened up for him like 5 years before that,
right.
And now he was opening up for me.
So he was player hating on
you,
basically.
He was player hating. He's like, man, I don't want girls to steal my computer. I'm like,
really?
Dude, no one's stealing your computer. There's no jokes on there, first of all. And second of all, no one's taking... Yeah, so I had to like... So anyway, so these girls, I'm like, follow me to a hotel. I was going to buy a hotel, but I got lost in Wichita, and they made a right, and I made a left, and I spent the seven hours trying to find them.
And, 7 hours just driving around?
Yeah, 7 hours trying to find them.
Oh my God.
And didn't find anything, other than the fact that I was like, I could not have felt more like a loser.
Wow.
I was so pissed at that comedian afterwards. Oh, man.
Do you remember his name?
Yes, but I'm not going to say it.
Because you don't want to give him any...
Ron Mori. All right, so here's the deal.
Ron
Mori cock-blocked the crap out of me in Wichita, Kansas.
What a dick.
4 years ago. All right, so UFC on Fox card. Let's talk about this. Man, Brown versus Lawler. I wanted to talk about Jake about this fight. There was... You know what? It was a good fight. It was a good fight. It wasn't... Sometimes a Twitter feed... greatest battle of all time, and my TV just blew up, and I thought, I didn't think it was that great of a fight. I thought it was a good fight. It was an entertaining fight, and yep. I enjoyed watching it. It was just the hype behind it. Anytime it was like, it was hyped as Gotti Ward, you know, it was like, oh, this is gonna be, someone's gonna get knocked out, and
well, yeah, you know. That's one of the downsides to hyping it, because if it doesn't live up to the hype, then it pales in comparison to the hype.
Right.
But if there was no hype and you watched that fight, I think you'd be satisfied.
Oh, you know, I was entertained by it. It was a great fight. I wanted Matt Brown to win. Matt Brown's a friend of the show.
Right.
I like Matt Brown. The guy's got a crazy story. Him dying after overdosing on meth, right?
Or heroin,
and then coming back. And here's a guy that didn't win the Ultimate Fighter, and look about where he is now.
Right.
Who won that year? I think it was the year that he fought at 170. Was it Efrain Escudero? Is that the one? Who was it? No, it wasn't him. Who was the one? It was the one he was on with. It was Matt Riddle, was on that season. He was on it. I don't know who won that season, but I don't think it was Matt. It wasn't Matt Brown. But
come on, DJ, you know that you produced that show.
So yeah, my point is that it's one of those things where you really can't tell sometimes how good someone's going to be from The Ultimate Fighter. Everyone was scared of Matt Brown on that show. I like Matt Brown. I like Matt Brown now. I like his wife, and I was hoping he would win.
Maybe
Robbie Lawler is just
that Winnebago that he wants to get.
Yeah, Robbie Lawler is just right now. He's just that.
Yeah, he's that dude right now.
He's that dude. However, I still think Amir Sadala won that year. Amir Sadala won that year. Look at Amir. Amir's he's been off for a couple years. He's actually coming back. He's got a fight coming up, which is I like Amir Sadala as well.
I think
he lost to Amir. Yeah, I remember that. Amir won CB Dalloway. He beat in the finals. That was the year Jesse Taylor kicked out the
window.
Yeah, the window. But yeah, right. I mean, look at that. Look at how far Matt Brown has gone on that since that show. I think he was on a 4-fight losing streak at one point, and then won 7 in a row. I root for a guy like Matt Brown. I wanted Matt Brown to win. He did not win, but it was a close fight.
Lawler won 4 rounds to
4-1.
Right?
It might have been. I mean, you could argue 3-2. He absolutely won that fight, and now he's going to be, Robbie Lawler against Johnny Hendricks. Which,
damn, dude, that's going to be. I don't want to start the hype on that one either.
I just hope that Hendricks actually starts to get in shape now, so he's not focused on losing weight for the training camp. Because I feel like the number one reason the fighters come in out of shape or is because they spend their entire time losing weight and not enough time thinking of the game plan, what they're going to do. They do all kinds of stuff just to get the weight down.
Right.
And you think about how good, Rampage is a classic example of someone who's such a talented fighter, great fighter, but has had weight problems. And you could tell the camps that Rampage came in shape and the camps he was up at 250 getting down to 205. And, back to what I was saying before, it's like, my own comedy career, I think it's just all about, my wrestling comedy career, it's all about just like, I was watching the Mickey Ward, Arturo Gatti documentary. If you have not seen it, it's on HBO right now, Legendary Nights. And obviously, I've seen all the Gotti Ward fight, the trilogy. It was actually my 25th birthday, I think it was, or 22nd, 23rd.
Isn't the one Mickey Ward the one that gets kind of chubby when he gets fat when he's not fighting, or who is that?
No. But these are just two guys that just had the three most epic fights of all time. And my first birthday was 25. That was the first one. Me and my friend stayed in and watched it, and I could not. We didn't want to go out. We were going to some nightclub in New York City afterwards. Like, fuck that. We're staying in and just contemplating on what we just saw. And we're going to reflect because that was such a great fight. And if I was an athlete, I would relate myself to a guy like Mickey Ward, who's just not the most talented guy. He basically, Larry Merchant was like, he's a journeyman fighter who accomplished a lot more than what most journeymen do because of his heart and his will and his desire. And those are all the X factors.
Hell yeah.
A lot of guys don't have that. You know,
you
can't train that stuff. Anyway, so the Anthony Johnson fight against Nogueira.
Wow.
Somebody said it should be elderly abuse. That was That was unbelievable. That was like a hate crime.
Dude, that was ridiculous.
My dad said, watching that fight, I called my dad. I'm like, Dad, you got to watch these fights coming up right before that fight. My dad doesn't really watch MMA. He knows that I'm into it. But my dad's one of those guys going, man, Joe Lewis would have kicked these guys' asses, you know, or like, these guys still, you know, these guys aren't fighters. Sugar Ray Robinson, that was a fighter. You know, that's my dad. Who are these, you know, jabronis? You know, that's my dad, you know. My dad respects it, but he doesn't really understand all of it. He just sort of, he's like, you know. So I tell him to watch that fight. He calls me up. He goes, where'd they find that guy? The parking lot? He goes, are you kidding me? I go, Dad, you know what I'm saying? Lil Nog is one of the best fighters ever. Best fighters. I'm like, he's not in his peak anymore. His peak? When was his peak? 1934? Like, my dad, my dad saying. I'm trying to convince my dad Lil Nog's a good fighter.
This guy was a beast at one point.
Yeah. And I mean, look. Everyone said that Anthony Johnson was going to kill Lil Nog. Right. But Lil Nog, you know, I thought Rashad Evans was going to kill Lil Nog. You know, I mean, Lil Nog sometimes, I thought Phil Davis was going to kill him. That was did Phil Davis, did he fight Lil Nog? Wasn't that a close fight? They didn't actually fight. I'm trying to think, that was, what? Anthony Johnson fought Phil Davis. Right. I know, but I'm thinking of a cheetah. What was the Lil Nog? Lil Nog's last two fights were against, his last fight was Rashad Evans, but before that it was somebody
that
where
Frank Mir. No, that was Big Nog, right?
Well, I know he wiped out Tito Ortiz, but that was years ago.
Right.
It was Johnson, Rashad, Tito.
So Johnson.
He did fight Phil Davis.
Phil Davis, right? And I think it was a closer fight than it should have been.
Back in 2011.
So you know, look, the point is that Lil Nog sometimes makes fights a lot closer and even wins fights that he shouldn't have. Right. But this was not one of them.
44 seconds of pure destruction.
It was unbelievable. I mean, Anthony Johnson is now looking like the next contender after the Cormier John Jones fight. You could argue that Johnson should get the next one.
Yeah, I mean, that's coming up.
Yeah, but by the way, I mean, how great was that? I mean, look, I was Gustafson, I'm a fan of, but that Cormier, John Jones announcement, my day. Cormier, obviously, he's a friend of the show, one of the nicest people
on the planet
ever. My like,
I loved you because I sent you that text saying Gustafson's out, Cormier's in, and you were like, wow!
Yeah. I was shocked, and it's already started on Twitter. You hear what happened on Twitter?
No, I haven't heard what happened.
That's why I love talking to you about you, because you don't know anything. So the fight gets announced, right?
Right.
John Jones DMs Cormier. I think if like you're verified on Twitter, you could DM anybody, even if like they're not following you. I think that's like one of the things. Because I don't know how. So he DMs Cormier going, "Hey, get ready to meet your daddy." Right, so that's what he says to Cormier. Cormier,
right.
And Cormier writes back, goes, "I'm gonna fuck you up." that's what he writes, right?
Right?
But it doesn't go through because he's not following him back. So Cormier has to screenshot it and send it to Ariel Helwani to then post it, right? Yeah. So now there's already the whole Twitter feud's going on.
That's great.
And I think Cormier's got this fight. I think it's one of those things where I think Cormier is his. His kryptonite.
Cormier has that X factor too. That determination and that heart of a lion, and that like he's been through so much that there's like he told me a long time ago. He's like, I fear nobody, and he was like, there's nothing that a man can do to me that fate hasn't done to me 10 times over.
Yeah,
and he was like, you know, if I put my mind, I can do anything.
We look at how they match up, right? Also, okay, wrestling. I got to give the advantage to Cormier.
Cormier,
striking, what's maybe. That?
What?
Wrestling? We're crazy?
Oh, I'm just saying. You even give Cormier a chance, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Wait, you're not giving Cormier a chance this fight?
No. Cormier.
All right, so DJ or producer is not giving Cormier a chance this fight.
Not only is he not giving him a chance, he's laughing at
us. He's laughing at us. Okay, why?
I just think there's two X factors, right? There's John Jones is just, I mean, that athleticism, and not taking any away from Cormier, but those low front leg kicks that he does. I mean, I just.
Yeah, but Cormier is 3'4". He had to foot stomp him.
I mean,
he's too small for that.
I don't think he can get in. I just don't think he can get in. Rashad couldn't. You think Cormier is any better at getting in than Rashad?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
He's an, better?
He's an Olympian. He's an Olympian. Okay. Rashad. Rashad was a D1 wrestler.
I'm not taking anything
who never placed at nationals. He was basically a 500 college wrestler.
What's John Jones's takedown defense percentage?
He got taken down by Gustafson.
99.9% or something like that. He got taken down by a guy who was just as big as he was. Cormier.
A guy who never wrestled before.
What's Cormier? 2 feet shorter.
2 feet shorter.
You know, his reach. How are you going to get past that reach, man?
Yeah, but he has a waist size. It's way bigger. No, no, but look. No, okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Right, I want to hear what you got.
All right, here's Daniel Cormier, right? His wrestling is so good. He actually.
He has 100% takedown.
100% takedown. He ragdolled Dan Henderson. Another Olympian wrestler. He wrestled last 2 weeks ago at the Expo and beat a guy who was a 2-time national champion who beat Ben Askren twice and beat him like 12-3 while he was laughing at him.
Right.
I mean, Cormier's trains with Cain Velasquez every day. You look at Cormier's victories over knocking out Bigfoot Silva, beating up Frank Mir, beating Roy Nelson, beating Josh Barnett. Okay, all those guys.
Handily. And Josh Barnett's no slouch with the wrestling either.
Right, I mean.
and he's considerably bigger than
stopping Cormier. So the Hulk in one round, right? So all that. John, I mean, he's fighting bigger guys. He's you look at his wrestling, losing to Cale Sanderson, okay, arguably one of the best wrestlers of all time, in the finals of the NCAAs. Okay, so we go, wrestling, it's Cormier all day long. Jiu-jitsu, I'd say they'd probably be about even, you know? I mean, you know, John Jones says he's a white belt. He's obviously not a white belt, you know? White belts aren't submitting Machida, okay? But he's not a white belt. I would say, dang, striking, you got to give it to John Jones. But who has John Jones ever knocked out? Nobody. Who has he ever even hurt on standing? Has he ever dropped anybody? No. I mean, the fights that he's won striking, he's taking the guy down, putting in a crucifix, or he's mounted. But on one-punch knockout power, I would say Cormier all day long. On jabs...
And he's been getting better since he's been knocking people out.
On jabs and spinning elbows, sure. We're going to get to John Jones. On kicks, we're gonna get that...
That spinning elbow is going to be damn near ineffective, too, because he's so much taller than Cormier. He's going to be spinning and missing.
On kicks,
You think so?
On kicks, we'll give kicks to John Jones. I pokes Jones all day long. All right, so I mean that dude's poked more men than Anderson Cooper. All right,
pokes more. You can't just glaze over that. That's hilarious.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. The
poked more men than Anderson.
Look, I got to say, all around, but you got to look at the fact that, like, a lot of John Jones's opponents break when they get there. They get in there and they fold. Gustafson's not one of them, okay? But a lot of guys, they look, oh, John Jones. I'm picking Cormier in this fight. And yeah, he's also the guy that hadn't blocked me on Twitter out of the two. But I'm picking Daniel Cormier. You? Yeah,
of course.
Yes.
Of course I'm picking Daniel Cormier. And another thing that people have to realize is that Daniel Cormier is wide as hell. And that's not, it's not like grabbing a regular dude. I know it's hard.
Yeah, but
to
so is, you know, Ralphie May. I'm not picking him over anybody. The wide factor? I mean,
yeah, he's wide as hell. Like, it's like the Y factor, but it's like the wide factor.
Really? Is that where we're factoring in? So, because he's fat? I don't know. I'm not really sure. That's, I mean.
It's hard to explain what I'm talking about, but it's not like, you know,
when
you
can't
grab somebody else.
Him?
Yeah, you can't bear hug Daniel like you could someone else that's not as wide. I mean, because he's super wide. Like, seriously, I was standing behind him one time, and I was like, dude, you're back. And he was like, yeah, man. It's like trying to pick up a bag of rocks, Daniel's going to be. I mean. Well, yeah, we'll see.
All right,
I mean,
Nick, the wide factor. Gotcha.
The wide factor.
Okay. Meanwhile.
Was it like he's breaking out?
Meanwhile.
He's not going to be able to grab him around and lock his hands behind him.
Meanwhile, Dana White said that when he called Daniel Cormier, he could hear his daughter yelling, "My dad's going to be the champion." And then John Jones already said that his daughter said that his dad's going to beat his Cormier up. So now the daughters are fighting. Wrote a joke. You can watch daughters fight exclusively on Fight Pass. You can see the daughters have like a. But yeah, they're already texting and tweeting. Cormier already said, "Hey Jones, want me to shut up? Make me do it."
Right.
And then Jones sent him a cheeseburger. So, yeah. All right. So that was crazy. Clay Guida versus Dennis Bermudez. I think we were.
Come on, Clay. What happened?
I think it's one of those things where, look, I like Clay Guida a lot. I hung out with the guy. He's one of the nicest people ever.
Yep.
It just seems like there's this new crop of athlete, these younger guys that it just. First of all, why is he letting Jason punch him in the face before the fights? Like, that, like he's like letting his brother just hit him as hard as he can before he gets in the octagon.
Trying to get him hyped up.
The only time Jason ever like you know land strikes is on Clay before the fights. It's just, it's come on. I don't understand that. You can't help but like Clay Guida, and he's got a victory over Pettis, which is pretty crazy. You know, but it just seems like he's becoming kind of a gatekeeper. In that role, and you know, he's taken a lot of punishment, Clay Guida. And I actually wrote that, like, if anybody tuned into Fox, they probably thought that there was a guy beating up an angry lesbian from the looks of the way Clay looks. So, Josh Thompson versus Bobby Green.
I didn't see it going that way,
no one did,
right?
Especially
Bobby Green is fighting for his life at this point.
Well, he even said there was a gang hit out on
yeah,
him. I mean,
that's what I was talking about,
yeah. Like, that was he actually didn't wear red. He was in the he didn't know what
both
corner
of them
to
were
go
in the blue
into.
Corner.
Yeah, should he go in the, he went in the different corner. He went in the white corner. But yeah, so that was crazy. You know what? I thought that Josh Thompson won that fight, but it wasn't one of those fights where I'm like, "Oh, he definitely won," or
right.
It wasn't, I wouldn't say, a robbery. Bobby Green talked the entire fight. You see that? I mean, he literally is now on The View hosting it. He talked the entire. People were saying he's doing his post fight interview during the fight. Right. People were saying he replaced Mike Goldberg. It became like I even said he got into MMA because he had no one to talk to. He talked throughout the whole. Now I wanted to ask Jake about that because I would like to get Jake's perspective on a guy who talks the entire fight. It's a very cute. Show me a picture of your daughter.
No, showing you the time.
Oh, the time.
It's 12:45.
Oh, we got to call Anthony Johnson.
Yeah,
is that what it is? Oh, I was like, okay. T Rex shows me a picture. We have to call Anthony Johnson right now, talk to him, and see what he's doing. Hey, Anthony Johnson.
Hey, what up, man?
How's it going? It's Adam Hunter and T Rex.
What up, Shen?
You're on the MMA Roasted podcast.
Yo.
You're coming off a huge win over a little Nog. Holy cow. I mean, did you get arrested for, like, attempted manslaughter after that fight?
No. Yeah, actually, I did. You know, my check was so fat, I paid him off, though.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
That was awesome, man. I mean, seriously, how many white chicks did you bang on Saturday night?
None, dude, none. I didn't. I was with my friends and stuff, dude. I was just having fun. Everybody was getting drunk and having a good time. I had my closest friends and family there with me, so I was everything was beautiful.
Nice.
Well, good for you, man. You deserve it, man. First of all, you beat Phil Davis, which you were a big underdog against, and now you beat Little Nog. What's next? Who are you calling out? I know that you called out Carl's Jr., but who are you calling out?
Nobody, man. I mean, I can't call out anybody because, you know, so much food that he eats, you know, in his weight class, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just waiting to see who's next.
But I mean, you have to be thinking about it, right? Who do you want to fight next?
I mean, I'm aiming for the top, that's for sure. I really want to fight everybody in the damn division. Can't lie about that. But there's nobody specifically I want to fight next. You know, I want to fight them all.
Yeah.
Who do you have in the Cormier Jones fight?
Cormier.
Yeah.
How?
You know, I mean, I think DC has the potential to really put it on John. You know, but it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy at all.
Yeah, it's not going to be
easy. I never go against the champ, you know what I mean? But I think DC is definitely one of the guys that can put a beating on John.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people are thinking that. I'm surprised. You know, it's going to be a crazy fight. Hello? Can you hear me? Hello?
Anthony?
Hello?
Hey, can you hear us?
Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay.
So you're going into your fight. Let's talk about Saturday night. So you're going into Little Nog. Are you? What are you main concerned about with Little Nog? His jiu-jitsu, his striking. you know, what was your big fear going in there? Or did you have any fears?
Nothing, man. I wasn't scared of anything. I didn't have any worries or nothing like that. I went into the fight 100% confident in myself. I just knew I had to hurt the guy, you know, and knock him out. It wasn't no, like, you know, playing around with him because, you know, those Noguera brothers are tough, man. I just knew I had to go in there, either knock him out or hurt him real bad, where if it did go to the judges, that they knew I won, you know?
Yeah.
So it was almost, it felt like it was do or die.
No, you know what? I actually tweeted during your fight. I go, I cannot believe that Josh Koscheck beat this guy. if you look about, you know, where you've come since the Josh Koscheck fight and when you were starving yourself to where you are now, I mean, it's almost like every fighter in the UFC went up 3 weight classes after your fight. They're all looking at you and going, "Wow, man, it's unbelievable." Hello?
Oh, damn.
I think he got upset about Josh Koscheck. So, okay, so Anthony Johnson. So I actually tweeted during your fight. I go, I cannot believe that Josh Koscheck beat this guy. And you look about where you've come from there to where you are now. It's unbelievable.
All right, dude. You keep cutting out, dude. I can't hear you.
T-Rex, can you talk? See if he
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear. I can hear you good now. I'm like, every time you get halfway through whatever you're saying, it cuts out.
All right.
No, I was saying about like where you've come. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
About, you know, where you've come from when you were fighting Josh Koscheck and guys in the UFC to where you are now. It's unbelievable. It's a real big comeback story.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, I fucked up. That's the bottom line. You know, and I had to get my act together. And, you know, since I did that, everything has been working out pretty good. And the only reason Josh Koscheck beat me back then because I'm not near as, I wasn't even half the fighter back then as I am now.
Well, literally, you actually were half.
not even. I was worse.
You were a third of the fighter. He only beat a third of you, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
So I remember last time you were saying that that you were just banging every chick in Miami.
Oh my God!
I don't remember that either.
No. I mean, are you the man at the Black Zillions? Are women just flocking everywhere?
Nope, never.
Come on.
Nah, man. They don't bother me.
I heard that you and King Mo went to the Bad Girls Club and just slayed everybody there.
No.
Slaying box.
No, I mind my own business on that part.
All right, mind your own business. That's good. Now, what is it, though? Because I know there are a lot of people out there right now who are like, you know, they're guys who are like struggling, and they look at you and they say, a guy who really just went from, you know, from where he was to where he is now. What type of advice would you give to fighters out there?
Not just fighters, but anybody. Even when you're down, never count yourself out. You know, there's a lot of people out there going to turn that back on you. There's a lot of people out there that's going to talk bad about you. No matter what, keep your head up, keep going forward, and do your best, because nobody can determine your future except for you.
That's good. I like that. I'm actually gonna use that in my own life. Now, now let's talk about the Phil Davis fight. Do you think Phil was overlooking you?
I don't think he was overlooking me at all.
But it seemed like he was calling out John Jones before the fight, and he was kind of...
My thing was this. I think he was calling out John to get the media to talk about it, but then at the same time, in my opinion, I think he was just trying to get me to be distracted with the whole situation with him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Him acting like he's not taking a fight seriously, making it... Well, probably made me think that, you know, I don't need to take this fight seriously, you know what I'm saying? But I take every fight seriously.
Were you surprised how easy it was to hit Phil Davis?
No. I mean, I missed a lot, but whenever I really, you know, tried to hit him, I hit him.
Yeah, no, you like rocked him a couple times. I was surprised. You know, we had Phil on afterwards, and he even said that he was like, no, I didn't overlook him at all. Anthony Johnson was a great wrestler. He's, you know, a top 10 guy, you know, and he even said he was just exactly what you said, just trying to mess with you.
I might look stupid, but I ain't stupid. You know, so I wasn't finna fall for that game. In this game, you got to take people seriously. You know.
Yeah, no, you do. Now, but shouldn't you be like? I mean, at this point, you got all this pressure on you. I got all the spotlights on you. Don't you think maybe you should be calling people out and being like, "All right, I want this guy, that guy, make some more, get even more heat for you."
No, because every time I've seen somebody call another opponent out, they get beat up by that opponent. You know, so right. I don't want to be one of those guys. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna just keep my mouth closed, let them keep feeding me guys, and I'm gonna keep beating them up.
Yeah. Now, what I'm telling you, I even wrote that ever since you fired Mike Dolce and went on the Oprah diet, things have really picked up for you. Now,
including his weight.
Including your weight. Now, what weight did you come into the fight at?
220.
So okay, so you only cut for 15 pounds.
Yeah,
that's good. Now, what's the heaviest that you've ever been at?
251.
Damn.
Now, was that, what fight was that for?
It was a fight for myself. No, whenever I broke my hand after I broke it against Arlovski,
yeah,
I had like, 4 or 5 month layoff or something like that. And I couldn't really train, you know. And during that time, I was just fucking eating.
But I mean, when you're at 251, are you looking down at your belly going, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
But that's the thing, dude. I wasn't like, I just got thicker, but nothing was like sloppy looking.
Just a big dude.
Yeah. I remember,
everything just grew.
Now, last time you came on the show, you said that like, that you were into white girls and that you know, black vaginas didn't do it for you. Have you changed your mind on that? Have you found one?
Hell no, he hasn't changed his mind.
Have you found one that you like
exactly,
better?
Exactly. My man just answered that question for you.
Hell no, he hasn't.
No, are there any black girls you want to throw my way? Because I'll take anything at this point. So
Anthony's like, you can have all of them.
No, I mean, are you like, I mean, like, because I know that you go out, people are like, Anthony Johnson, girls must flock. Do you throw chicks to your friends?
No. I mean, even if they do flock, I don't pay attention to them because I don't like girls like that.
Oh. So what do you like girls like?
I just like, you know, simple, easygoing, you know what I'm saying, fun girls. I don't like girls that want to just throw the pussy at them. You know what I'm saying? I don't like that. Because if they're throwing it at me, they're throwing it at everybody.
Yeah. Who's the black zillion that like you're like is the most guy? Who's like the black of the black zillions? Who's the guy that?
I don't know. I really can't say. Everybody's a little different in the clique.
Is it all right? So it's all right. I'm gonna name black zillions, and then you're gonna tell me how much trim they get on a 1 to 10.
Dude, I swear I don't know. I'm telling you, I mind my own business. You know, most of my dudes got girls, you know what I'm saying? So they don't even trip about it.
All right, Rashad Evans. Rashad Evans on a 1 to 10, how's he doing?
A 0 because he got a girl.
All right, so he's a 0. All right, Matt Mitrione, Meathead.
I don't know about Matt either.
All right, Overeem, what was he getting?
Fucking negative 0.
Oh my God!
Overeem was getting negative zeros.
He was getting horse meat.
Now is Overeem someone that he was getting horse pussy? So now is Overeem someone that you would want to fight at like a catch weight?
I'd fight him at any weight.
Really? I would pay to watch that.
Dude,
fight.
That'd be a fun fight to watch.
All right, so Overeem is someone you'd fight at any weight. All right, who else? Who are the other black zillions that get tail? Who else is there?
What you got?
Jay-Z, Cavalcante.
Yeah, I was gonna say you got Cavalcante and all those dudes.
Jay-Z is married.
All right, he's married. All right, so you guys are boring.
So that's what I'm saying, though. Like everybody, like most majority of the guys there that have a name or anything like that has a girl.
So you guys are like the no trim zillions.
basically, dude, we like I don't hang out with them like that. You know what I'm saying? If I hang out with them, it's like, you know, we meet at a restaurant or something. You know, it's just the team.
The Virgilians. Come on. You guys got to pick up your game, man. You got the fucking, you guys are the Black Zillions.
The Whack Zillions? Come on. You guys can't be the
Whack. I tell you the one guy who's the bravest guy in on the team, though, that'll talk to a girl in the middle of a workout, in the middle of his own workout.
Who's that?
And that's Abel. Abel Trujillo. Abel will see a chick, he can be working out. He'll stop. If you got 10 reps, Abel stop at 6, yo, and be walk right over to the chick and be like, yo.
He seems like that guy, though.
Team Killer.
Abel, Abel ain't got no shame.
So Team Killer. I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Abel's with it. He has no shame in his game. I got mad respect for him for that one.
All right, hilarious. So yeah, we got to get Abel back on the show. I like Abel.
She can have a ring on and everything. He'll still be like, yo, you look beautiful.
Nice. Hey, I like it. Abel Trujillo is getting some tail. Now, nice. Since Jones is fighting Cormier, have you thought about a fight between you and Gustafson?
No. I mean, if it happens, it happens. I think it'd be a good fight regardless.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, just don't fall in love with your power, man. That's the only thing.
I mean, I see, that's the thing. I think is like this when it comes down to where people are. Just from what it looks like, obviously Rashad is out for a while. I think right now the biggest people to give John a run for his money is Gus, Cormier, and myself.
I would definitely have to agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
But what was last time?
There's really nobody else.
John knows he's got three guys that, coming at them for sure. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, but I mean, he's no dummy. He's going to train his ass off to make sure he's ready for us, but we're doing the same thing.
Yeah. I think you would give Jones a run for your money, even though you don't run. how much cardio do you do? Like how many, like right now you could run how many miles in a row?
I don't know, 6, 7.
6 or 7? That's not bad.
Damn, really? I don't think I've ran 6 or 7 miles if you added up all the times I've ran in my life.
Really, 6 or 7 miles? So,
and six or seven, I'm definitely, I do that.
What about you against Glover Teixeira?
I fight him. It'll happen. I mean, I know it's going to happen one day.
Yeah.
I mean, and Finesse is just going to be a crazy fight because he's not trying to go to the ground. I'm not trying to go to the ground. We're just going to be trying to knock the hell out of each other.
Yeah. I mean, right now you're ranked 5th. It's crazy, man. Like 4 months ago, you were in the World Series of Fighting, and now you're ranked 5th in the UFC. That is pretty amazing.
It's a pretty good, accomplishment, but the ranking is just a number to me. I want to be champ.
Well, look, man, I think you can do it. I mean, you've won, 7 fights in a row?
Eight.
I mean, your last major loss was to a scale. So
he's gonna whoop your ass.
I really think you got this, man. I mean, look, I think Cormier beats John Jones. I do. And then I think the next fight is you against Cormier.
I mean, if it works out that way, then fine. But if it doesn't, I'm ready for whoever.
Right.
Hopefully they call me sooner than later.
How many fights are in your current contract?
I think I have 2 more.
2 more? Okay.
Hmm. Now, if you get the belt, will it fit?
Hell
yeah, it's gonna fit.
He's gonna wear like a bracelet.
He's gonna have 3 belts tied to each other. Well, listen, man, Anthony Johnson, it is so great to talk to you, man. I'm so happy for you, man. I really am. You are a comeback story. You're an inspirational dude.
And a cool-ass dude, man.
And a cool-ass dude.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So nothing but love from the MMA Roasted podcast to you, man.
Can I get one of those dogs, man? Let me get one of them dogs.
As soon as I have some puppies, man, I'll let you know.
Please do. Those dogs are badass.
And I want to get – now, where can I order one of those Rumble shirts?
Honestly, I have no earthly idea. You can go on Jocko's website and hopefully get it on there. I really don't know. All I know is that I was training one day and they started handing me Rumble shirts. And I'm like, What the fuck?
Hold on. So you're getting paid off those, right? Or is Glenn Robinson keeping all that money?
I mean, my manager's doing me right. You know what I'm saying? Okay. He's a good dude. But they surprised me with the Rumble shirt. So as far as I know, you just go to Jocko.com and they should be on there.
Nice. So you went from Grumble to Rumble. Now, where can people find you?
On Instagram at Anthony_Rumble. And Twitter, the same name, and Facebook, but you just got to find me on there, Anthony Rumble Johnson. It's like 4 pages, 5 pages, something like that.
Nice. Nice.
It's the one with the picture of the Big Mac is his.
Yeah.
Anthony, man, you're a good sport, dude, and you're killing it.
He's the
best.
You're
fucking killing it, dude. Great to watch. And keep it up, man. Keep up the good
Congratulations,
work.
Congratulations, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother.
Oh, by the way, follow me back on Twitter, please.
All right, I hit you up for sure.
MMA Roasted. Thank you.
All right, dude. Yep.
Later.
Bye.
All right. That was Anthony Johnson. Funny guy,
always
man.
Always fun.
He always fun guy. Always, man, holy shit. Look about where he's come. I mean, it just shows you how good. It just shows you that sometimes it's because you're in the World Series of Fighting or in Bellator or in 1FC. It doesn't mean that you're not right there.
Yeah. Because you're, I mean, every other platform is a platform to showcase your skills, and the UFC is paying attention. You know, they'll hear about who you are if you're doing some damage. Like when he broke Arlovsky's face, that put him back on the map. Everybody was like, "Damn, this dude's not playing around."
Oh no, not at all.
And the next thing you know, he's back in the UFC.
I'm just happy that he didn't run out of weight classes. But he only had one more to go, and then it was done.
Where do you go from here?
but yeah, so anyway, right now we have Amanda Nunes coming on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't wait to talk to this beautiful, amazing fighter. And let's talk to her now. All right, so we have the beautiful, amazing Amanda Nunes, who's got a big fight coming up against Kat Zingano. Amanda, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So what's new? How's training? Where are you? What's going on? Talk to me.
Well, things good. You know, training now is good. Start training hard for the fight. And then everything is going to be great.
Yeah. Now, you're from Brazil, correct?
Exactly.
You came now, and then you started boxing when you were 15 years old. Started doing jiu-jitsu a little later, had your first fight coming back. One of your fights I watched, you knocked out a girl in 16 seconds. It was brutal. A brutal knockout. It was pretty damn awesome. So Julia Budd, 16 seconds you knocked her out.
Exactly. Yeah, in Strikeforce.
That was awesome. That was
damn.
Now, I mean, there hasn't even been like a crazy knockout in the UFC like that before. Is this something that you're like planning on doing to Kat Zingano?
Can I get please?
Is that something you're planning on doing to Kat? Just knocking her out?
Yeah, for sure. I always go to finish my fight, and then in this fight with Kat, same thing. I go to finish for sure, whatever the fight go, stand on the ground. I go to finish it.
Yeah. Now, where are you living right now?
In Miami, Florida.
Right. And are you training over where?
Huh?
Where are you training?
I train in MMA Masters.
Say it again.
MMA Masters.
MMA Masters?
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Right. Who are some of the fighters that you train with?
I train with Ricardo Lamas.
Nice. Ricardo Lamas.
That's Ricardo Lamas, Pablo Afonso, Nina Isarov.
All right. So, Amanda, so when did you move here to America?
I moved here in 2 years. I had 2 years here. I was here.
2 years ago? Nice. Was it hard to adjust from Brazil? Was it a hard move?
No. No, because the climate here in Miami, you know, same look like, you know, playing in Brazil.
Mm. Yeah, but culturally, was it a difficult move?
Yeah.
Was it hard to learn English?
A little bit. You know, I try very hard to speak and I think couple more years, I speak, you know, very good English.
Well, you know what? You speak better English than I do, and I've been here for 36 years. So,
yeah, there's no way I could pick up Portuguese that fast.
Yeah, no, your English is pretty good. Now, you were, you know, when you started MMA, there was a lot of hype behind you. You won your first six fights. You were just killing people, and then you ran into Alexis Davis. That was a hard fight for you. You lost to her in the second round. What did you learn from that fight?
I learning for my life. I need to stay in one gym. You know, try to find the best gym to train in. And for this fight with Alexis Davis, I don't have one gym fixed. I go to train it. Now I have a good gym. You know, the best coach, the best training partner. And then I think I lost this fight because I don't have a very good gym to train in and then prepare for this fight with Alexis Davis.
Yeah.
That's why I try to finish this fight in one round because I know this fight, I go to second round and I don't have too much guys to finish it. That's why. I'm not training for this fight at all. And then, thank God everything happened in my life very good. I show everybody, you know, and then now I have this big opportunity to fight that. And then I want to show everybody I'm ready for be a champion.
Nice, nice. Now, do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Are you looking for one?
No, right now. Right now I'm focused to, you know, in this fight. And then after that, I think it's going to be very good for my life.
Right. Now, nice. Do a lot of guys hit on you because you're Brazilian and you're pretty and they go, hey, how's it going? And do a lot of guys.
It happened a lot. It happened, but so, we focus in training and, you know, my career in the first plan right now.
So, all right, let's say I'm a guy, I'm in like Miami and I see you, I'm at a 7-Eleven and then you come in to buy a Slurpee or something or a power bar. And I say, hey, how's it going? You know, you're really pretty. Would like to go out on a date? What do you say?
I don't think it's a good idea because I see you my the first time I see you. For sure I don't go, but I talk to you and, you know.
Wait. You just said that you looked at me and you start laughing and say no? Come on.
Like, no. For sure, I'm going to laugh, but, and, you know, need to happen. I don't know.
All right, you know? So I said, okay. So you say, okay, you know, you're very busy. I go, it's okay. How about I pick you up at 8 o'clock? We'll go to a dinner and then maybe a movie, and then we could, you know, eat some Brazilian food. No?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to.
It's not gonna work.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well,
you just like to eat Brazilian.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Now, when was the last time you had a boyfriend?
A long time ago.
How long ago?
I think a lot of years.
A lot of years ago.
So you don't have have to have a boy toy that you have. You have a boy toy or someone that takes care of your needs. Can't tell me that's not the case.
You don't have a side man, a guy that you kind of a male booty call.
Well, right now I keep it focused.
You keep focused. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, I keep focused in my fight, and yeah. You know.
Because Jake, you and Jake Ellenberger would be perfect. Because
right. They've both been celibate for years.
Jake Ellenberger hasn't had sex in 10 years. So, and from the sounds of it, it seems like you're kind of hard up too. So I would say you and Jake should go out.
Could you imagine the fury that would be unleashed on each other?
What do you say? All right. Okay. Thank you. Now, all right. What do you think about Ronda Rousey?
Well, she's a champion, and then, you know, she's strong, that's why she's there. And I go to finish in fight September 27th, and then after that I see Ronda, and then you guys you're going to see, and you know I'm ready to prove that I want to be the champion.
Right.
That's why I come to Brazil, to live here, to focus in my career and everything. I think she's a champion. She, you know, she's still there. And then I know I can't talk about her. I want to fight her. After this fight, September 27th, I want to fight her.
Right. So now do you think that you could finish Ronda Rousey? Because I read an interview. You said that once she gets hit, she's gonna fall apart. That you just gotta stay away from her, and that you could finish her. Are you standing by these statements?
Yes, I have very good strikes. You know, I keep distance all the time. I come from judo too. I started judo, jiu-jitsu at the same time in my life, and then I know how to keep distance. I know how to block judo throws, and I keep training wrestling. And I know I have a very good, intelligent coach. And my coach is judo black belt too. And I have very good coach, Shrike. We're going to make a very good strategy for Honda. And then everything's going to be good.
Meanwhile, I hope your English doesn't get better at all. I think this is awesome. I love the way you talk, by the way. It's
Thank you.
You and Hector Lombard should go on a date. I think that would be.
They get absolutely nothing after the date. How to go? I don't know how it went.
Yeah, you and Hector Lombard should go, and you can only talk English. I think that would be amazing, right there.
Yeah. Who do you like your training partners? Because is Nina Ansaroff the only other female that's down there?
No, only Nina, and then the rest is a guy.
Right, so you do a lot of training with guys.
Miguel Restrepo, and Danny Chavez, the same size. This guy, just tell the name, same my size, and very good training partner. Have.
All right. So, right now, what are the top 10 qualities you look for in a man? So, if you like, let's say this is like a dating show, right? And they go, okay, so Amanda Nunez, what are you looking for in a man?
We're trying to hook you up here.
Why you guys keep me asking?
Because the fans want to know.
It's funny. This is what the fans want to know.
Because it's funny.
Because it's funny, because I could tell that you're not usually asked these questions, so it's really funny to see you embarrassed and laughing. It's something that's very nice about you. It's a nice quality. It's a very natural.
It's endearing.
And it's very endearing. So.
Thank you.
All right, so just give me three qualities in a man you like.
I know. Say it again.
All right, three things you like about a guy. A guy, in order for a guy to date you, he has to be these three things.
Please say funny.
I go talk about is my friend in the gym, okay?
Okay.
And then I like it the way he sparred with me. Come too aggressive and then try, you know, punch me strong, everything like that. I don't like training with guys, you know, because I'm a girl and come training easy stuff. I like the guys training me strong and then try punching me and you know, taking me down. I like this, we grow.
Wait, you're looking to date a guy who punches you and spars with you?
Exactly. Just kidding.
Yeah. A hip toss is foreplay.
She's just kidding. Now she's joking with us. This is great.
Uppercut to the ribs is how this she is gets great. Turned on.
You're looking for a guy who could come forward and not be too aggressive. Oh, that's hilarious. Well, Amanda, listen, it was a pleasure talking to you. I'm not sure what we got accomplished here, but listen. Oh, your last fight, by the way, against Jermaine De Randamie was awesome. By the way, that you destroyed that girl, and she is 47-0. She's a you know, in Muay Thai, numerous world champion. And you, what was it? And then the fight before that, what's been the big change with you?
Should I get,
it seems like it seems like since you lost to Amanda Nunes, things have really started. I mean, I lost to Alexis Davis. Things have really changed. Like your last fight was a brutal beatdown of Germaine de Randamie. Is that what?
Yeah, completely. You fight your foxy, everything, and yeah, I train it hard for the fight. And I train it intelligent with my coaching, with my training partner. And then we, you see, she tried coming with our combo.
Yeah.
For this time, she come with the combo, and then I tried to take her down because I know I'm good to have on the ground. I know I take her down easy.
Yeah.
And we make this shot very good. And the first combo, the way for exactly this fight is exactly the way I training.
Right.
The first mistake, I attack.
Right.
And then this fight like this, and then everything's beautiful these days.
But Kat's gonna have a lot better wrestling than Germaine did. How are you gonna deal with Kat's wrestling?
Like now we're training, you know, a lot of defense and a lot of sprawls and I wrestle too a lot.
Right.
I know I can take Kat down for sure. I know my jiu-jitsu much better, you know.
Right.
Than her, and my strike too. And I want to show you guys September 37. You know, I know she come to try to take me down too. We ready. I'm ready for everything that's gonna happen in this fight.
Right. Now, what do you think
I know her strategy.
What do you think about Conor McGregor?
Hello?
Yeah. What do you think about Conor McGregor? All right, okay, no comment on Conor McGregor. All right, listen. Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can't hear me? Okay. Well, listen, Amanda, where can people find you on Twitter or Instagram?
I can't hear you.
Okay,
yeah, where can people find you on social media, like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter?
I can't hear.
Okay, she can't hear. DJ sleeping. where can... is it something I can do with my mic? Can you hear me better now?
No, it's the connection. It's their cell phone.
Hello? Are you in a well? No?
It's baby Jessica down there.
Hello. All right. Well, listen. Okay. Amanda Nunes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Where can people find you on Twitter or Instagram? All right. Okay, well, listen. All right, well, listen. Amanda Nunes, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Obrigado.
You can find her on Twitter, Amanda _LEOA. Leoa. Amanda _Leoa. Amanda, thank you so much for coming on the show. You are a delight. I know you can't hear me, but I feel like we're together. All right.
Okay, okay, it's all good. I talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Obrigado.
All right, bye. All right, well, that was Amanda Nunes. She seems like a really sweet girl.
She is.
I liked her.
She's not bad looking either.
She's a very pretty girl.
She's not
Brazilians
bad.
Are just a different level. Yeah. Different level of female are those damn Brazilians.
The lioness.
The lioness, yes. There's something about Brazil. I don't know. Why are Brazilians so damn attractive? They have curves that like other girls don't have.
Out of this world.
Out of this
curves
world.
Are out of this world.
Out of this world. All right. Listen. So we're gonna talk about
he's throwing papers around.
I'm throwing papers around. Phil Baroni lost last week against Carl Parisian. That sucked.
It's because you called him that day in the middle of his training session.
Really? That's what it was.
That's what he said on Twitter.
I like Phil. I think maybe you know, Phil's got to decide what to do next. I'm not Phil, but.
Maybe it's time to break out that cock ring.
He may have to break out that cock ring. Phil Baroni, we're going to have him back on the show, though. I love Phil. I wish he lived in L.A. We'd have him like in studio as a guest.
Had him in here?
Oh, man, that would be so much fun to have Phil as a regular.
Him and Kevin Randleman should come in together.
I've been calling Kevin to get him back on the show. He didn't return my phone call.
Really?
Kevin Randleman, I want to get Kevin back on. There's a Twitter beef right now between Michael Bisping and Luke Rockhold going back and forth. And it got actually kind of personal. Luke said something about, how's your eyes? Maybe you could win a fight or something. Or insulted his eye injury. It got kind of personal. Luke Rockhold, I think, is making some... He's, you know, going after Vitor Belfort, calling him a cheater, going after Wanderlei Silva, going after Bisping. You know what? Probably the best thing he can do. Because Luke Rockhold is a great fighter, is the top 10 fighter. People don't know him.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking guy, but he's kind of a boring, not the kind of most... His last fights have been very exciting. His first couple fights in Strikeforce were not the most exciting, but he was dominant. And I think, you know what, he needs...
fought Keith Jardine.
But he beat Jacare, he beat Kennedy.
Jacare Souza, that was his first, like, foray.
But, you know, there's a guy, a perfect example of someone who needs to raise his social media presence and make some noise, because he has the skill to back it up.
Yeah.
Bisping, I guess him and Luke Rockhold, they got into it where, according to they sparred years ago, and according to Bisping, he was the real Strikeforce champion because he got the best of him. And since then, they've been going at it back and forth. Bisping's got to go get past Kung Lee in China, which is not going to be easy at all.
No.
Kung Lee is about 42 years old at this point. He's getting up there in age. Kung Lee is a guy who I would have loved to have seen back in the day in his prime in the UFC. I remember watching Kung Lee, I think on Strikeforce on NBC, and he was doing some kind of fighting, like I think it was like Shotokan or some type of judo fighting where it was like only his rules, and people had no
idea. Let me punch you in the face.
People had no idea what they were doing. They were just somehow getting thrown by Kung Lee, but it was like Kung Lee rules. It was the right. And I was like, you know, this is great, but I would like to see him in MMA, you know. So and I feel like he got into it a little too late, but. He's been, you know, Kung Lee, he's a guy, he's a movie star, he's a good-looking dude, he was a wrestler in college.
He's a man with the iron fist.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of things. So now Dana White, according to his thing on the UG, they asked him about Carano, and he said, it's complicated. So I guess now it's becoming a Facebook relationship status, which is not a good sign when it comes to signing fighters. It's complicated. I don't know what that means. I think, honestly, the studio's probably like, no, we're not going to let this girl get her ass kicked in front of everybody, which is what's going to happen. I'm sorry that I have to be the
guy. That's a good perspective, though. I didn't even think about that. That, like, you know, I don't know if she has like multi movie contract, and they're like, nah, you're not gonna go get
I don't want your face, you know, I don't want you calling back at Keith Jardine, you know, I mean, come on, this is ridiculous.
Right.
Nobody
but
wants.
But also, you know, their star being embarrassed, you know, like,
which is what's gonna happen. And if anybody thinks that doesn't think that, they're crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, the girl's taken 6 years off of MMA, and even in her prime. Against Ronda in her prime. I still like Ronda Rousey in her prime over Carano in her prime.
Absolutely.
But, yeah. And I don't even know if Ronda even hit her prime yet. That's how good she is. You could make the argument she hasn't even hit her prime yet. She's been, you know, really, look how much better she's gotten from the Liz Carmouche fight. Carmouche almost beat her.
Right.
You know, so...
Gorilla.
The gorilla, exactly. Now, yeah, so that's that. Twitter beef. More Twitter beef going on. A guy who won last week, who I was surprised. I didn't think he was going to win, was the guy who beat Darren Kruschenk, Kimbo's guy.
Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah, Masvidal has been calling out Donald Cerrone left and right.
Oh, God.
Which is funny that you call out, that's the guy you pick to call out. That's probably the last guy.
Yeah.
But that just shows how crazy Masvidal is. But I guess if you're going to fight in Kimbo's backyard, bare knuckle for YouTube hits, you're probably not afraid of anybody, especially Donald Cerrone.
I saw that one of his fights, one of his Miami fights.
Yeah.
Where this dude was fighting another guy, and the one guy got his ass beat, and he was jumping around like, yeah, I'm the man, I'm the man. And then Jorge came out of the crowd and was like, I'll fight you. and just like threw his shirt off and started dancing around. I'm like, God damn, this dude doesn't care. He was just sitting there watching. Yeah. And then he was like, no, I'll fight you.
There was a
bare knuckle in the street with like 300 people watching.
If you want to see,
and he was just dancing around like.
And Masvidal was taking his licks as well. If you want to see one of the greatest submissions I've ever seen, one submission of the year, it was Masvidal versus It was a guy in Bellator. The guy hit a reverse triangle on Masvidal. From Masvidal had him in the air, was carrying him around. This guy hits a reverse triangle on him and pulls it off. And it was probably the craziest submission I've ever seen. DJ, who is it? Are you looking it up? It's thank you, by the way. It's Masvidal versus you. If anybody wants to see the greatest submission of all time, I'm telling you.
It's Masvidal getting choked
Masvidal
out.
Masvidal getting choked out. But Joey Varner told me at that point that Masvidal was looking great. He's like, this guy is going to be the next thing. He's like, even though he lost and got caught in some crazy inverted triangle submission. Toby Amata. Exactly. Thank you, DJ. Toby Amata pulls off one of the greatest submissions I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Have you ever seen it, DJ? You ever seen that? Oh, you want to see something crazy. It's unbelievable. Do yourself. I'm sure anybody listening to this show has probably already seen it. Actually, maybe not. We have a lot of listeners that have a life. But yeah, you want to watch one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. It was unbelievable. So Masvidal's taking his licks, what I'm saying, because this video has been probably has over 1 million, 2 million hits on it. And how many hits does it have?
13,000.
Four hits.
Any way you can put it on the screen? On the big screen?
Yeah, he's lighting up Toby Amata the whole fight. Lighting him up. And Toby Amata pulls off this submission that, like, I didn't even know existed. And then I saw someone else do it in Bellator. And then it became kind of more people have, like, done it. But it's a great. You want to do yourself a favor, watch this crazy submission of Toby Amata versus Jorge.
We'll watch it later.
Anyway, so that being said, because UFC 176 got canceled, there is no...
We talked about that.
Yeah.
We talked about that happening. If one more injury happens, if they have to cancel one more bout.
And then now Chris Carrioso is now fighting DJ Johnson, Demetrius Johnson, DJ, not DJ Johnson.
DJ Shrope.
Yeah, DJ Shrope is fighting. Chris Carrioso, which, you know, I even wrote a joke about, like, Johnson said he's going to prepare for Carrioso by Googling Carrioso. Because he's a guy that no one knew about. I mean, some people knew. The hardcore fans knew about him. He does have a win over I think, John Lineker. But he's a guy that kind of came out of nowhere. I said he's got the best vertical leap because he leaped over seven dudes to get this title shot. But he's fighting Demetrius Johnson. A lot of people are saying that they think that the Uncle Creepy Brad Pickett fight winner should have gotten that, which makes more sense.
Yeah, that does make more sense.
But at the same time, Johnson beat Uncle Creepy twice. I'll tell you who should have got the thing would have been John Dodson, but Dodson's hurt for a year, so he injured himself on the trampoline. So, you know, you got Chris Carrioso.
He's out for a year?
Yeah, he's out for a year. That's what I heard. So Chris Carrioso, which, hey, you never know.
I heard months. I didn't hear a year.
Maybe Carrioso will. I invited Carrioso to come on the show. His training partner came to my show, who was laughing his ass off.
Nice.
And like his wife is this guy Anthony Burchek, who is like a world grappling champion and wrestling champion. He fights for the MFC. MFC's got some good fighters, by the way. It's in Edmonton.
Yeah, MFC. Are they still doing their thing?
They are in Edmonton, and they got a couple. They got some good guys. This guy I met who came to my show, Smilo. Similio, it's hard to pronounce the guy's name, but he actually has a win over Mako and over Tim Haig. He's the heavyweight champion. I met him in Calgary. Smilino. And then I met another guy who came to my show. The Tank came to my show in Temecula. These MFC
not
guys.
Abbott.
No, not Tank Abbott. Another guy, the Tank. So, anyway, that being said, I think we got everything covered, really. Yeah, I mean, what else do you want to talk about? It's been kind of there's no UFC 176, so we can't talk about that.
That sucks.
But, you know, we gave you an hour and a half podcast, so hopefully you enjoy it.
How many more times can the UFC just cancel entire cards?
Well, the problem is that you have the Fox cards, right? And then you have the FX1 cards, and then you have the Fight Pass cards. And you got to have headliners for all those things. You can't just, like, so... the pay-per-view, I wouldn't say it's becomes watered down, but a lot of those guys that would necessarily be beforehand be fighting on those cards are now fighting on different cards, and it's hard. There's so many good fighters out there, and you know, it's the 176. It would have been Chad Mendez versus Aldo, and it still would have been a good card and a good solid card, but it just, you know, it is what it is. You know, if look, take away the but to me, look, I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. I'm not one of these guys who's like, fight's too watered down. There's a fight every weekend. If there was a fight every night, I'd watch it. If there was a fight every single night, I'd watch it. I might have to TiVo a lot of them, but it would still. Look, basketball, baseball, football. Are people like, man, there's too many football games. They should only have them once a month. This is fucking watered down. I mean, too many.
16 games a year.
There's 160 fucking baseball games, whatever there are. Too many baseball games. I mean, look, you want it to be a sport, it's got to be a sport. And you know what? There's a lot of good fighters out there.
You got to accommodate all the fighters.
You know, the problem is the issue becomes when you have fighters that people don't know. And they go, you know, that's why shows like this are so valuable, because you get to know people, and then you want to watch them. Now, our boy, Pat Cummings, won.
I'm happy for him, though.
I'm happy for him. I feel bad for Kyle Kingsbury, because
Kingsbury had that one, but
it's a tough fight to come out of retirement for. Pat Cummings is an awesome wrestler. He's a grinder. He's got balls of steel. I mean, and he's got nothing to lose. He's already
right. He's
already kind of been embarrassed on the biggest stage, and he's that good. He's right. A tough dude.
But I think we're gonna look back at that loss to Cormier and be like, that was what it needed. That's what he needed to kick it into gear. You know what I mean?
But that's him, though. That's all on him. Like, a lot of guys would have lost to Cormier and just retired.
Right. That's what I'm
and
saying.
He said, like, you know what?
He just used that as fuel to just propel his training to another level. I think he's not going to lose for a while now.
Depends who he goes up against. The problem that I see with Pat Cummings is his wrestling is so good. His striking, he doesn't finish people.
Okay.
I'm sure he has heavy hands, but he doesn't have he's got to work on finishing people, because a lot of guys will be able to get grinded down and stay in the fight and then come back in the third. You know, if you're going to get a guy down like that and you're on top, you got to finish these dudes, get him out of there, for your own safety.
I think he'll pick up the training. He'll pick it up.
Well, the guy spent a year in jail. That didn't help
Jesus.
Him. A year in jail for raiding dorm rooms didn't help him. I told you, that guy, Eric Bradley, was one of the best dudes I've ever wrestled with. Probably the best. He fucking murdered me. And then he went to, him and Cummings were the two guys went to jail together.
Wow.
Two All-American Penn State guys. All-American. It's like they went back to the thing and went to a couple college fraternity houses and started like trashing things as a joke and do a year in jail for that.
What
kind of lawyer do they have? That's a fucking awful lawyer, by the way.
You're going to do a year behind some teenage pranks.
I mean, what do they settle for? Like that or death penalty? I mean, seriously, how do you?
Right.
I mean, that's Pennsylvania. That really? I mean, people
got coaches boning kids in the butt. At Penn State, and these guys go to jail for raiding dorm rooms.
Really? Maybe that could have been their like defense. Was sorry, I was molested by Joe.
Sandusky.
Yeah, Jerry Sandusky.
Which now sounds like a sexual term.
Sandusky. They gave him the old Sandusky.
Really?
I don't know. I just
that sounds like a sex to who? To the molesting chat rooms
exactly,
that you go on.
Exactly.
How do you even know that?
It doesn't sound like that.
No, it sounds like a fucking.
Yeah,
no,
he pulled down his pants, gave him the old Sandusky.
Right, we're gonna get out before we get thrown off the fucking air, which is gonna happen every week. You say something, we have
me?
To edit out. Yes,
me?
Yeah,
Sandusky. That's what we're getting thrown off for Sandusky.
I don't. Who knows?
Not. Did you find any white vagina that you like? You hate the black vagina.
I didn't say that. I didn't
did
say,
you say
he,
that.
I didn't say he hates the black vagina. I said he had. I just said he likes the white ones better.
I just did a quote from Donnell Rawlings.
Who got a DUI recently. By
did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
In New York.
Come on, Donnell.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So, where can people find you, T-Rex?
You can find me, Todd Rex, T-O-D-D-R-E-X-X, on Twitter, Facebook, and I will be at Pechanga Casino, headlining Pechanga Friday and Saturday this weekend. Yeah, that's where I'll be.
So tomorrow night, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I'm going to be at the Gotham Comedy Club. Doing Comedy Juice there in Gotham in New York, headlining there Wednesday night.
Are you doing the show?
Thursday, I'm doing Gotham Live Thursday. And then Friday, I'm coming back to LA and doing The Cave in Big Bear. The Cave in Big Bear.
Yeah, have you been there?
No, you said it's awesome, right?
The place is, the venue is ridiculous. Yeah, you're going to love it.
Yep, so I'm there on Friday, probably Saturday at the HaHa. Go to adamhunter.com and at MMA Roasted, at Adam Comedian on Instagram, and at Adam Comedian on Twitter. DJ Shrope, thank you for everything.
Yeah.
Fox Sports, thank you for everything. Ellenberger, get well. Manny Gamberian, see you next Tuesday. Take care.
Later.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.